Thank you once again, Mr. Petrie. We know that in about 6 weeks, we're going to be having the Passover. It seems that it was just yesterday that we had the Passover last year. And by the way, the Passover is going to be at the same location, I believe, as we had it last year. So, down. Okay. So 6 weeks to go to the Passover. And when we think of Passover, what do we think of? I'm going to have you fill in the blanks and give you a short test here. So when I read this statement, I want you to fill in the blanks in your mind. It should be fairly simple, but it's trying to get a point across to what we're going to have in the service today, what we're going to have in the sermon. So Jesus Christ said, this is my blank of the blank blank for the remission of sins. A little bit hard maybe if I hadn't stated the last part, but this is my blank of the blank blank for the remission of sins. So I'll give you a moment. I think probably as we think about it, and if you didn't get it, you'll understand right away, and you knew it. It's not that you didn't if you were a little short on time to fill in the blanks, but we all know this, and it is, this is my blood of the new covenant for the remission of sins. And I'm not just sticking with that at all. I'm going on to something else that has to do with it. But we do know, and you can fill in the blanks, the new covenant was to write God's blank on our hearts and minds. On our hearts and minds is a clue. So again, the new covenant was given, not just written, but given, to write God's blank on our hearts and our minds. I think all of us probably know that that's laws. Laws. So this sermon is more about laws and some of the trouble that comes in dealing with the world, recognizing that they don't like laws too much. So there is a verse that we're going to be going through today that you can find in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19 that talks about laws. In fact, there is in this verse the word law twice. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, if you were in Coeur d'Alene, you probably saw a PowerPoint that I gave, unless you had COVID, and you may not have been there. The Magruders actually heard this, so I told them to stay home this week because I didn't want them to hear it twice. And actually, that's not true. I was told last week that he was going to be we're going to be somewhere else. That's why I took the box home for the coins. But they were there, and they possibly could have heard it, although we had a number of people down with COVID, not too many, but a few. So I had 42 PowerPoint slides. I thought that the best way to present this would be to shorten it, to make it more simple. Sometimes less is better than more. So it's a little bit less, but it's covering the same points. So the verse, again, is in Galatians 2 and verse 19. And I might add that some of you may have heard the Galatians Bible study by Mr. Dave Johnson, and he was going through this, and I'm not saying anything against what he did. In fact, I'm very happy that he did not explain this, because he summed it up very well, because he actually gave one of the translations from New Living Bible or Living Bible or something like that, and he said, of course, because people use it to do away with God's law, he said, that's totally ridiculous. And then he went on to explain more in the book of Galatians. So we have this then where in Galatians 2:19 it says, through the law, I died to the law so that I can live for Christ. Now, one thing we absolutely do know, and that is that the Apostle Paul wrote things that are hard to be understood. No doubt about it. He wrote things that are hard to be understood. And this is one of those, and we'll be going through some of the translations, and I have a couple commentaries here. where we see what they think. And we'll see why Mr. Johnson said, totally ridiculous, that it would be translated any of these ways. But basically, it is used to say we don't need to obey God's law. Galatians 2:19, through the law, I died to the law so that I can live for Christ. Now, we'll come back to that, but here's some of the explanations that we have. I pointed out before that I do have a couple commentaries on the Bible. This is on the New Testament. This is on the Old Testament. And the answer is, actually, it's not. The whole book is on Galatians, the whole thing. This one here, the whole thing is on the book of Galatians, the whole thing. And to spend that much time, not only on the book of Galatians, but also you can find the same size of commentary on Romans and some of the other books. And there's a lot of commentaries on the book of Galatians. These are two of the top ones by scholars have rated other scholars' works. And scholars have said that those are two of the top four or five commentaries, Bruce and Longnecker. We'll read not too much from that. In fact, I'm not even taking and pulling those books out. I just have a couple quotes from those two. So what about this then? Galatians 2:19, through the law I died to the law so that I can live for Christ. Here's what the New Living Translation says. When I tried to keep the law, Now this is all on Galatians 2:19. It's an explanation of that verse. And here's what they say. When I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. In their context, the Ten Commandments, I died to the law, or the Ten Commandments were dead, is what they mean. I stopped trying to meet all the requirements. I stopped trying so that I might live for God. Oh, that's really good. And, you know, I ask people if I can steal their wallet because they died to the law. They don't think the commandments are in vogue anymore. And they tell me, no, that's not right. And I say, well, this book says in the commentary, we stopped trying to keep those requirements. Really makes sense, doesn't it? And I'll just mention right now, if you ever want to study a subject where it's concerning the law of God, you don't want to use someone that doesn't have God's Spirit. You might be able to use one if they really think that we should keep the law, but rarely is that the case because we know that the human nature is animosity, enmity against God's law, not subject to the law of God, and neither can be. So why do you want to take a book that they write and say, well, I will see what they have to say? Well, in fact, I did, because we want to know. It's good to know. That's why I'm actually quoting some of these verses or some of these comments, so we can see what the world says and absolutely confirm that they do not like God's law. So the Living Bible says about this verse, if we trust Christ to save us and then find we are wrong and that we cannot be saved without obeying all the Jewish laws, meaning the Ten Commandments, by the way, too. They mean the Ten Commandments. For it was through reading the scripture that I came to realize that I could never find God's favor by trying. Never find God's favor by even trying. And then failing to obey the laws. I came to realize that acceptance with God comes by believing in Christ. That's the Living Bible. Now, that is not totally wrong, is it? The part about not even trying. I think he meant God's favor by trying. But when you have believe in Christ, that's right. But they don't go on to say the two things that are necessary for sure, and that is believing in Christ's sacrifice and having the faith of Jesus Christ. And naturally, brethren, and I don't even think I have that scripture down, but if Christ is going to be in us, if we die through baptism, come up in newness of life with the mind of Christ in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, aren't we supposed to have the faith of Christ? They don't seem to know that. Okay, here's the Bible reference, Galatians 2:19. That's a link. Again, on this verse only. Once dead, you know, I died to, through the law, I died to. So once dead, someone is dead to everything, including the law. So Paul, through Christ, died to the law that freed him. When you die to the law, what he means, he died to keeping the law. He died so he doesn't have to keep the law at all. And that frees us to truly live to God. And this is from, well, not one of these guys, but let me quote Longnecker. Paul, and this is from pages 91 and 92 of this commentary. Paul presents in encapsulated form the essence of his own theology. I kind of thought it was God's theology. I think every word is inspired by God. In his own theology, vis-a-vis Jewish nomesh or namesh. Number one, the law's purpose was to work itself out of a job. There we go. And you're reading this from somebody who comes up with, I can't remember when Longnecker wrote this book, somewhere 1950s to 2000, maybe sooner than that, sooner back than that, more closely back than that, whatever. But work itself out of a job. Now, you know what he did? You know what both of these fellows did? They took every commentary that they could find that's ever been written since the late 1700s, mostly early 1800s, and mostly the 19th, 20th century, and they took to see what they wrote. And they basically repeated everything that's ever been written on any Galatians commentary. It's all the same. It's going to go back and is virtually all the same. Not much different. So, law's purpose was to work itself out of a job and point us beyond itself, beyond the law. Everybody on I-25 who travels on I-25 works themselves beyond the law. 75 miles an hour, we'll go 95. I am sure we had a car passing us at 105 this morning going up north. Work itself out of a job and point us, and they're talking about not just the statutes, judgments, you know, because there's the book of the law that was placed beside the Ark of the Covenant. He's talking about what was in the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, what was in the covenant. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Working itself out of a job. So that we can have a fuller relationship with God. That's good. So God, I stole. Yeah, you need to grow in undeserved pardon. You need to steal some more. I need to steal some more. You got to go beyond that. Now, they don't go that far and they don't explain it that way. But when you analyze what's happening to the result of their thinking in this society, which is sliding down towards hell, Hades, I will say, or maybe even Gehenna if they kept going that way, you realize the result of all of this. Finally, one more. Longnecker says, Paul's argument in this verse, Galatians 2:19, as to believers being released from the jurisdiction of the Mosaic law, is fourfold, that it was the law's purpose to bring about its own demise in legislating the lives of God's people. Is this going to happen at the end of the millennium where people are just tired of being legislated, told what to do? There's that attitude of Satan the devil again, and we know it's going to appear by the end of the millennium, and people are going to follow Satan the devil. That freedom from the law's jurisdiction is demanded by the death of Christ on the cross, meaning when he died, there go the Ten Commandments. My mother once asked me, she said, Greg, what does your church believe about the Ten Commandments? And I said, well, we believe we should keep them. And she said, being a good Lutheran, she said, or being a bad Lutheran in this case, I think that's what we should do. I think we should follow the Ten Commandments. But in the world, nobody likes to be stolen from. Nobody likes to be killed. Nobody likes to be cussed out in the name of Jesus Christ. So really, they don't really understand the totally deceived world that we have. So what we're going to do is take a look at Galatians 2 and verse 19. And I'm going to have the handout given out. Bob, do you want to that handout? I should. There were so many people up north, I may be one short, but one per single person or one per couple. And if there's any left, definitely we want to hand the others out. I already gave one out. But on this, as you take a look at this, we will have a couple pictures on the one side, and then the entire sermon on the other side. The entire sermon on the other side. And hopefully it is going to be clear enough, and you'll understand what is being said here. Again, I gave this, and 42 slides was it was too much. And you can, again, have so much that you just don't assimilate the whole thing. My wife already has one, so she's already good. So if people need another one, I think Bob probably needs one. But yeah, take two if they're free, by the way, and you don't have to hand them back in. So we're going to start with the pictures on the front. And for those of you who are watching online, I'm sorry we don't have the full sermon for you, but at least you can see what I have here as I put this up. And basically, you have one of the statements in here, through the law, I died to the law so that I can live for Christ. What I have is, on the top picture, we have which law died to which law, okay? Which law died to which law? Because through the law, I died to the law. So there's a law that caused me to die to another law. So what I did when I started studying this years ago, and of course, we go back and forth with studies and different studies that we have, but I thought, well, why don't I just put all the laws down on one side, not all of them, because there's quite a few more, and laws on the other side, and try to start matching them up. So on this picture here, we have the law of God, and across from it, there's the law of sin, the works of the law, the law of sacrifices, the Ten Commandments, and also the law of God. So it'd be stupid to say, through the law of God, I died to the law of God, wouldn't it? Or then you have the Ten Commandments, and the same group over there. Through the Ten Commandments, I died to the Ten Commandments, I died to the law of God. What is it? So we have to look in Scripture, though, to see what matches, because you can take probably double this number and see which law it is that causes us to die to a second law. And so on the bottom here, we have what we're going to conclude. Because it's a confusing mess, isn't it, on the top? It's like, how are you going to figure this out? Well, it's a study that goes into the Scriptures, and the Scriptures define the Scriptures. Okay, so on the bottom, we're going to come up with this, and that is by the law of faith, and I don't even have that in the first picture, by the law of faith, and we might start asking, the law of faith, Galatians, the law of faith. That term is not even found in Galatians, law of faith, but we'll see what is in Galatians and what is in some of the other books. See, we don't have to stay in a book to prove what's in a book, okay, to define what's in another book. So by the law of faith, I died to what to, or I am freed from this law, the law of sin and death. So we're going to go from there because we have the law of sin and death, and where does that fit in to, through the law, I died to the law, so that I can live to God. So let's go to the back side of this, and we will see. Now, I'm not going to follow it in exact order, so I just didn't have time after doing it to switch it around again, because sometimes you have ideas, and you think, well, I'll go this way, and you have three sections here, basically, for those who are online. We're going to start with that middle section, what I call number two, upper left-hand corner. For I through the law, we're not going to touch that right now. We're going to look at died to the law. That's what we're going to look at, died to the law. What does died to the law mean so that we can live to God? So when we see died to the law, we go to the scriptures, and what we're looking for is basically whatever it is. Is there a law that is mentioned in the scriptures that we die to? And let's take a look. There's one actually that is really very good, and it's the third one down. It's probably the only one we would need. But we can see before that in Romans 6 and verse 2, for those of you who are online, shall we who died to sin, okay, we want to see where this term is, died to. Now, why would we go to Romans? Well, it's written by the same author, Jesus Christ. We had a fellow back in one church who said, well, Paul said this, but the scriptures say this. And so I went to him afterwards and I said, so you think Paul's writings weren't inspired? Did I say that? He caught himself right away, but in the world, it's the Apostle Paul and then the Apostle Peter, and Jesus Christ didn't tell the church or the disciples, apostles, everything in the beginning. So he didn't want to tell them that the law of God was going to be done away. So Paul later on explains that the law of God is going to be done away. This is the ideas that you have in the world. So you've got died to sin in verse 10 of Romans. The death that he died to sin. Okay, and this is, of course, in the first part of Romans 6, what we call the baptismal chapter. And then in Romans 7, 6, and verse 23, and Romans 8, and verse 2. Here is died to that really brings it in. Romans 7 and verse 6, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. Now, if we would go and read Romans chapter 7, if we would read the whole book, Paul explained as he went along that the problem was not the law. The problem was sin. The problem was sin. Okay, so now you see captivity to the law of sin. So if you die to sin, you're going to be dying to the captivity to the law of sin and death. All we do is read the last part of Romans 7 and the first part of Romans 8, and it's very clear. So when we come up with this, and this is why we're starting in the middle of this, through the law, I died to the law, because you want to clarify right away those areas that are really, really, really clear. Because it is very clear what we die to. We die to the law of sin and death. And we use Romans 6 would be. Romans 6 we read in counseling for baptism. And we talk about you should no longer be slaves of sin leading to death. Slaves to sin leading to death. First part, first half of Romans chapter 6. But we want to be slaves of righteousness. We're slaves of, better yet, slaves of obedience leading to righteousness. Slaves of obedience. So both is slavery. One is a bondage to sin, slavery, that we are held by. The other, before we are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, the other is slavery to obedience, because we then have the Holy Spirit. So I hope we have that out of the way now, and when we take a look at died to the law, that middle section of Galatians 2:19, we come up with what's at the bottom of this bold number two at the top left of your paper, and that is through the law, okay, and we're not telling you what that law is right now, I died to the captivity that held me, the captivity of the law of sin and death, because there was captivity to the law of sin and death. In fact, where that comes from in Romans 8, I have Romans 8 and verse 2 here, and that is saying exactly what we just read. captivity to the law of sin and death. If you go through the rest of chapter 8 in Romans, what do we call that chapter? It's called the Holy Spirit chapter. At least when I was in college, that's what we called it, Romans 8, because it has so much to do with God's Spirit, doesn't it? Romans 8. I hope that's out of the way and we can understand it thoroughly. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote things that Peter said was hard to understand. And you can just see him going up, that is, Peter going up to Paul and saying, better yet, Paul going up to Peter, would it be? No, Peter going up to Paul. Paul, what in the world did you have in mind when you wrote this? What were you saying? I know you had something in mind. What was it? Could you give me a background on this? Paul said, I'll tell you what, Peter, I'm going to write to the Romans, and I will explain the whole thing that I'm talking about in Galatians. And then Peter reads the letter to Romans, and he said, Paul, this is not much clearer. What are you doing? I understand what we're saying here, but you know, you're writing things hard to be understood. Okay. So he just didn't think the way most people thought. Actually, he was writing in a style that was actually normal for that time, if you read, you know, how things were written. Okay, so now what we're going to do is go to the opposite side of the page. It's number 3 on the upper right corner, and we're going to that third point, live to God. Okay, so you have in bold, number 3, upper right-hand corner. What is this live to God? I die to the captivity that holds me, the captivity of the law of sin and death. And wouldn't it make sense that when you do that, when you are no longer captive to the law of sin and death, that you can live to God? And the answer is, yeah, that should be clear in the statement, but there are scriptures that nail it down. So we have, first of all, in Romans 6:10, the same statement. I died to sin so I can live to God. It's exactly the same. The same author, Jesus Christ, inspiring the Apostle Paul, who wrote both books, Romans and Galatians. So same. So now Romans 6:10 is there. Died to sin so we can live to God. Live to God. And that's what we're looking at here, the last part of Galatians 2 and verse 19. 1 Peter 2:24 is really helpful, and I would think that Bruce, who wrote one commentary, and Longnecker, who wrote the other, would have been familiar with this verse. Even though they're writing the commentary of Galatians, you'd think they would read a little bit about Peter. So he bore our sins, 1 Peter 2:24, having died to sin, might live to or for. So basically you have the same conclusion, living for God, only now it's expanding a little bit. How are you living for God? And the answer is in righteousness. In righteousness. So we're building. And if you want to study a subject, you carry on and you can get a simple formula, and then you can go deeper with it, I suppose, with almost any subject. This is why books are written. You have going into a full explanation, maybe of the mystery and what's behind the mystery and what took place in the life of this child who ended up killing someone. You're getting into the depth of things. And so what we have in the Bible, which was not written so that the average person can understand. Can you imagine if the Bible was so clear on everything, and you didn't have to go to Peter, you didn't have to go over to Galatians, from Romans to figure everything out? God would have said, I made it very clear to you. I wrote it in a very clear fashion. You should have known. There's nothing you should have been deceived by, but God didn't do it that way. He wrote things that are hard to be understood. And that's why he used the men that he used. And some seem really clear. The book of James seems very clear to me. That's one of my favorite books. I think that's the first book that I gave a Bible study on when I first became a church pastor. Very clear that you obey God's law, but now you see you died to sin so you can live for righteousness. You're living to God and living for righteousness, both. Okay, now in Romans 3, it says, even the righteousness of God, so we're picking up a little bit more now, even the righteousness of God through faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. Now, it could be in also because, again, both is necessary, and it depends on the verse, but we know we have to believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we know also we have to have the faith of Jesus Christ. So Romans, though, picks up on that and adds faith. Even the righteousness of God through faith. And I have of here, it could have been in, I didn't stop to look at it, but you have to have both, and you can find both. And then notice what it says, when you have faith, it would be the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we know that all of that has to be there, because in order to live to God and live to or for righteousness, we have to have God's Holy Spirit, right? We have to. Then, well, have to have God's Holy Spirit for righteousness. How did that come? Well, it came through faith. Came through faith. And it has to be the faith of Jesus Christ. It has to be believing in what Christ did, coming back to the covenant. What did Christ do? This is my blood of the covenant for the new covenant for the remission of sins. And the new covenant is, let's not forget, the new covenant, Hebrews 8, and I don't have it here, the new covenant writes God's law in our minds and in our hearts. So I don't know what these guys were thinking of when they would have read Hebrews 8 and writing the law of God in our hearts, and it's taking care of the fault of the first covenant. You have the law of God, and it's the same law that is in the Old Testament that they couldn't keep. So you have a progression here. I show under number 3, the bold on the top, and we come down to the progression, which was died to sin, lived to God for righteousness through faith in and of Christ that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to go to the conclusion yet. Underneath that is a conclusion, but we're going to come back. Because we want to pick up on this, the faith thing. Because I told you in the beginning that on that first page, that the law of faith, through the law of faith, I died or am freed from the law of sin and death. So where do we get faith in all of this? Okay, back to the sermon itself and the page here on the first column, bottom left. Through what law did I die to the law of sin and death? And we already went through died to the law, and we know what that is. So again, at the bottom here, on the sermon page, bottom left corner, through what law did I die to the law of sin and death? So through the law. Which law was that, that I died to something that was bad? So we know we're not going to die to something good in the scriptures. We know we're dying to something that is evil, that kept us from living to God for righteousness. We know that had to be it. So what is it? Well, how about the law of faith? In the book of Galatians, we're going to see quickly how many words there are to faith, or some of the words, but Paul said in chapter 1, Galatians 1:23, he preached the faith that he tried to destroy. Now, what was that faith that he was trying to destroy? Well, he was going after Christians. He was on his way, actually, to put some more in prison and perhaps kill some more. And it was while he was trying to destroy Christians, and the faith of those Christians really got to him, because they were saying, they had faith that he was the Messiah, right? He's the Savior. And so he was after them. It was heresy in the mind of the Apostle Paul. They were heretics and they should die. And that's when God knocked them down and he said, that he was trying to destroy those Christians because of their faith, what they believed in. And we could come back to verse 18. I'm not sure we'll go that direction yet, but Paul did make that statement. If I start doing what I did destroy, and it certainly was, he didn't end up destroying the faith of Christians. He ended up changing. He was converted, and he had the faith of Christ that he wanted to destroy. And he wasn't going to back to something that he was doing in his previous life. Well, that didn't sound good. In his previous spiritual walk with God. Okay, chapter 2, 16, we're justified by faith. Chapter 2 and verse 20, we live by faith, which is the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God. Chapter 3 and verse 2 of Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith? In that, it's in beginning here, it's talking about being perfected. Did you receive the Spirit to be perfected? Or were you going a different route? Are you going a different route right now? Did you go back to what you were doing, thinking that you could be perfected? The word justified is akin to that. It's not the same word, perfection. But we realize that when we're Christians, we are to become perfect, like strive to become perfect like God. And also then in chapter 3 and verse 8, God justifies by faith of the seed, right? Jesus Christ. Okay, also we ask the question, does God, Galatians mention faith very much? So I took a look at all of the books of the Bible. And you can do that very easily just by typing in faith and to see how many times the word faith is mentioned in each book. So it's very easy to block out some of the books because it's not on the subject of faith, but there's five books that you look at and it talks about faith quite a bit. James is one of them. Hebrews is one of them. Romans is one of them. Galatians is one of them. Did I say four? There's only four, not five. Those four have what you might say is the most. Now, what I did is I looked at the number of words in every single one of those books, James, Hebrews, Romans, and Galatians, to see the percentage of times the word faith is used compared to the size of the book. Because it's really not fair to say, well, Hebrews has more when it's got about, 13 chapters in Hebrews? You can say, well, Hebrews has that word more, but James only has five chapters. So you want to take a look to see in the writing, based on the number of words, is faith used by percentage how many times? And it's 15.7% times. I think that doesn't even sound right because Galatians has one time for every 140 words, and that certainly doesn't come to 15.7. So you can look at that. Maybe 15% time, more times, I guess we might say. But we look at this, for those of you who are do not have the sermon in front of you. Faith is used in James the second most times, and in Galatians, based on the size of the book, it's used one time in every 140 words. And you could, if you have that in front of you, you can see what it's all about. The point in all of this is Galatians talking about faith a lot? Because if we're going to come up with a law of faith and see that, well, that's not even in there, then how can we say the law of faith? Well, we can take a look at scriptures. So we say through the law of faith, what does the law of faith do? And there's a scripture here, I'm not going to read it all. There's the promise of the Spirit through faith, so we do receive the Holy Spirit because we have faith, okay, that's in Galatians 3:14, but in Romans 3, the end of that book basically asks the question, do we make void the law through faith? Romans 3:31. And that's the book where you see the law of faith one time, the law of faith. But do we make void the law of faith? And the answer is certainly not. We establish the law. God's law is established through faith. Naturally, it's going to be because it is the faith of Jesus Christ by which we are made right. And if we're made right, we are forgiven. When we're made right, God is making us. He's from the beginning telling us that we are going to be made in the image of God. This is why I create you. And when we are gradually, over a period of time, made right or perfected, in other words, and let me explain a little bit here. What does it mean to be made right? When we were in Buffalo, New York, we had a little boy. It was one of the older sons who took a bobby pin, and he went over to an outlet, electrical outlet, and he had that in his mouth, and he stuck it in the two little holes. He has a scar on his lip to this day. Whenever I see him, he's in the church, if I remember right. He's one of the boys of a large family that stayed in the church. I said, I know what happened. You know what happened too, right? Okay, well, we ask the question now. If any of you go over and you take, let's see, I know it was one of the members up in the north who said when she was a little girl, her brother in diapers took a fork and went over and did the same thing, stuck that fork into those outlets and started shaking. And of course, she wasn't too much older than her brother. And it's like, what is happening? Well, mother saw it and she runs and just hits the boy and knocks him away. You don't want to grab him when, you know, they're like that. You don't. I think Marion's brother did that with, was it the other brother who took a hold of something and, you know, was grabbed by it. But I think maybe the mother pulled the plug on that one, or maybe Marion did. I'm not sure. So the point is, in all of this, was that right to do, or was it wrong? And the answer, it was wrong. It was not right. Did the child do right? And the answer is, nope, did not. So the next day, the child comes over with the bobby pin, looks at the little outlet, and does not do it. As a child, through probably a shock in this case, started doing what is right. And the answer is, yeah. Sometimes a child could be spanked and start doing what is right. Most of the time, it just takes the experience of trying so many things that are wrong that we end up doing things that are right because the wrong doesn't work out, right? Okay, so is God justifying the first time that little boy, because he didn't do it the second time, is God justifying the sin of putting that bobby pin in the outlet? And the answer is no. That will never be something that is right. But now, by changing, did that little boy start doing what is right? Did he become right? And the answer is he went from doing something wrong to doing something right. God never justifies a sin. He never justifies a sin. But through shocks, it's shocking, isn't it, that this would happen? But through the shock, there's a change, and the little boy started doing what was right. God is in the process of taking us from doing wrong to doing right, from going from slavery to sin to slavery to righteousness, so that we will be locked in. So we don't practice that. We might make a mistake, we might fall, but we never again practice something, and that's now being in the process of doing things right. Romans 2:13, the doers of the law will be justified. Not the sin, never the sin, the doer, the person is being made right in God's sight. And you'll never see sin being justified. God will never justify sin at all. So now we establish the law through faith. Romans, and this is basically the last scripture that I'm going to give as we come to the end of the sermon. But here in Galatians 2 and verse 16, we have what is happening. And we could go, it's a large subject, we could go into more detail, but it's not necessary. Galatians 2 and verse 16, three verses before this troublesome scripture in the world, and also one that when we first look at it, it's like, what in the world does this mean? Which law is that? Through the law, I died to the law. So through the same law, I died to the same law. So I can, what is this all about? So you go through all of these, this one picture here, and it's an absolute mess. It's confusing. But Paul knew what he was talking about, and he expanded, and the rest of the Bible nails it. It does. So here in Galatians 2 and verse 16, three verses before, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Is there any law involved that you do so that you can be made right? And that is, the law of God is a perfect law. How about the Psalm 119 where it says a young man is going to right his ways? I'm not saying exactly the same, but is going to start living right by following God's law. It's all over the Bible. It's a just huge subject where we are to keep the law. Now, what is keeping this law all about? It's about the Spirit of God. Remember, we took the progression down, living to God, where it has to end with the Holy Spirit. Has to end with the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't matter how much we do, even that might be right, without the Holy Spirit, in fact, you can't do what is right anyway in the spirit of the law. So in all of this, brethren, the law has, or the Spirit of God has to be involved, and it always is. It always is, because it starts through the law of faith. Faith comes because we have God's Spirit. Cannot be. We cannot have the faith of Christ unless we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it says in Galatians 4. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. So never, ever think that we can just start doing something right and that's good enough. It's impossible in the first place to do everything right without God's Spirit, and even with God's Spirit, we're never going to be 100% perfect. We are going to not practice sin. It's a practicing sin that is the problem. Practicing righteousness is good. Practicing sin is going to lead to the unpardonable sin, is what it's going to do. So the Spirit of God always has to be involved in this, otherwise, why would Galatians say, are you perfect through this or through the Spirit of God? It's always through the Spirit of God. So what we have here, justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. And we already found that we are to obey the law. That's why Romans 3 says, through faith we establish the law. We establish the law. Okay, so the conclusion in all of this would be, here a concluding statement would be on that same side, sermon side, third column, bottom right, not by works of law, and I have rituals and sacrificial law. You can go to, on the subject of that, you could go to lesson 18 of the correspondence course back in 1967 and beyond, where there was a big section. So again, there's a lot to the subject itself, because you're getting into a term that also would need to be explained. Not by works of law, but through the law of faith that establishes God's law. We saw that. We established the law. I died or was freed from the captivity of the law of sin. I died to the law of sin and death, that I might live to God for righteousness by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Of course, we're dead, aren't we? We go in baptism, we come up in newness of life, so we're not even there in one sense. We become, an heir with Jesus Christ, an inheritor with Jesus Christ is what we become. And that's at the end of Galatians 3 that the Apostle Paul goes into that, that Jesus Christ goes into that. Okay, now, some takeaways on this. Takeaway is five things that I have here. Be diligent, rightly dividing the word of God. Peter says to Paul, you know, Paul, they're not going to be able to just read a line by line by line by line in understanding this. They're going to have to rightly divide what you're saying. They will. Otherwise, they're not going to understand it. And so Paul told Timothy that in 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, Timothy, be diligent, rightly divide the word of God. Okay, and then the second point, I've already referred to this, and that is seldom use sources, seldom, from those who do not have God's Spirit. And this is seldom use sources concerning the law. There's a lot that can be learned from commentaries. There is. There's helps out there that are very good. But when they start tackling the law and they're against the law, it's going to lead you downstream in the wrong direction, and that will be to the cesspool, I guess we could call it. So that's Romans 8 and verse 7 and chapter 11 and verse 7. Romans 8, 7 and 11, 7, meaning these people are antagonistic, okay? So these guys are kind of like spies coming in from Russia to Ukraine to find out what's going on in Ukraine and letting them know how to win the war, right? The Russians are not going to tell the Ukrainians how to win the war. These guys who hate God's law are not going to tell us how to win in the end. Okay, and the third point, clear scriptures explain the unclear. Clear scriptures explain the unclear. 1 Corinthians 7:19. You can't just take an unclear scripture. You want to clarify, and there's always going to be clarity. We got a whole Bible to look at the clear clarity of it. Number four, study context, context, context. Verse in the surrounding verses, chapter, the surrounding chapters, the book, surrounding books, and stay in the Bible. Can't learn too much outside the Bible, but again, there's some help. Some people know that there's certain Hebrew words and Greek words that would help in certain areas. And finally, practicing sin negates understanding. Practicing sin will negate understanding. No matter how much we would study the Bible, no matter how much we would compare one scripture with another scripture, if we don't do what Psalm 111 tells us, and that is a good understanding, have all those who keep the commandments. Understanding comes from keeping the commandments. And I think that's good because God says, seek wisdom, and with wisdom, seek understanding. It's going to help a lot to be wise. But we have to obey. Obedience is very important. If we're practicing stealing, if we're practicing taking God's name in vain, if we're practicing coveting, we're not going to understand. It's just one of those living spiritual laws. It just is. So I hope that was helpful. And again, there can be a lot more. Like I said, I gave 42 slides, and I think this is more clear. I hope it's not as clear as mud to you. I hope it's more clear than that. But anyway, I hope it's going to help you absolutely know what Mr. Johnson said, that basically these translations and books that tell you that this scripture says don't keep God's law is absolute rubbish. He was totally right.